For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com on a Monday from Jupiter, Florida. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. 14 brands, 10 locations. Lou Fuse is St. Louis. See more at the Lou Fuse Automotive Group. In just a moment, I'll visit with Derek Gould. We'll get an update on the Colton Wong contract situation, Miles Michaelis's health, and then we're going to dive into, again, what so many are talking about in the game of baseball, and that's the Houston Astros, a cheating scandal that won't go away. And late last week, it was their owner, Jim Crane, in what was an odd, brutal, bad press conference.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
After the press conference, there was fallout from all types of people in the game, including L.A. Dodger Cody Bellinger.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. Personally, I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I set my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Strong words from Bellinger. And now the question becomes, how do you stop it? What's the next step? Currently on the website, I have a visit, long visit with John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. He has served on rules committees for MLB. What's the next step to make sure this doesn't happen?
Well, I have been told on what some of those things might look like, but rather than get ahead of myself or the league, I think I better not. But you know, clearly, you don't want a repeat of this. And given all the drama and really some of the results of what has happened from this, I can't imagine that it would continue. But you know, crazy things do happen. So I think having some governors on this or rules in place will be something that you do see happen.
Mondays with Mo is back, and so are we. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com. Triad Bank, full-service financial institution established to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services to closely held businesses. I do my banking there, and I can tell you to go to their website and find out if they can help you. TriadBanking.com. Coming up, it's a visit with Derek Gould. It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station. It is week two of spring training here in Jupiter, Florida. Derek Gould joins me Monday through Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac. And Derek, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. It's off and running. Guys officially reported yesterday in terms of position players. The pitchers have been here, no visa issues. But we do have maybe our first pop-up of an injury, or at least dealing with one from a year ago, and that's Miles Michaelis. What's the latest on Miles?
Well, he had some forearm discomfort. You know, similar to what he had last season and what he pitched through, Dan, and what led to some treatment there at the end of the season, where afterwards, you know, after the season was over, he received a PRP injection. That's a platelet-rich plasma injection. It's similar to the treatment, actually, that actually it's the same treatment that Carlos Martinez had for his shoulder. And, you know, then they're given rest and through the offseason and then a rehab program and all those things. The thing is that didn't take hold. He didn't have a chance to, you know, guys don't throw at full strength. They don't throw at full intensity, all that stuff, right? Until they get to spring, at which point in time then they do, and that tests the arm, and away they go usually. Here was a case where Michaelis says he went up there, maybe threw a little bit too hard, too fast, tried to put too much into it, and felt similar discomfort. So that puts him off the mound for a bit, meaning not throwing, delays his his appearance in the Grapefruit League. That is now delayed. Does call into question until they know where he's at, whether he'll be ready for the opening week of the season, the opening turn of the rotation. But it also means, like, do they have to rethink the treatment program? And that's the point they're at, Dan. That sure. was my long-winded explanation to get to that point. That's where they're at. They're trying to find out now where he is and what the next phase of treatment is. It could mean more rest and everything.
In terms of other pitchers, it's hard to believe, but we'll be on the air Saturday with the first spring training game on Fox Sports Midwest, and that'll be Saturday noon St. Louis time. You know, they've got a lot of guys, even a Ryan Helsley, who might be the closer of this team, but they're going to allow him to at least stretch out as a starter early on. Any idea about early on who some of these guys may be that we'll see this weekend? You seen any direction with that?
Well, Brett Cecil's going to pitch right away. He's going to pitch in the first game. He actually was told, you know, that he is going to appear in that game. And we've seen him sort of ramp up and be ready for it. He said he didn't want to come in, you know, going full bore, but he did want to come in at least at a quicker pace so that he could be ready for that first game. We're going to see some of the young guys pitch in those early games. But I talked to pitching coach Mike Maddox, and he told me by the end of that fifth day, the day that they have the split squad, every pitcher will have appeared. And you'll remember that that's different than last year.
Oh, yeah, right? Big time.
Where Miller and Hicks and some of these guys didn't appear for a while. They do have it set for a six-man rotation, meaning six-game rotation, essentially. They're going to have the starters split those appearances early on, two innings each, then three innings each, and then they get into a bind where they're going to have to break some guys off. Usually that's the point in which they send some guys to the backfield, meaning, you know, for a minor league start. They don't have access to those. So I think we're going to see some of the young guys here early. We're going to see a Ryan Helsley, as you mentioned, pitch two innings. He's going to be on a starter's program, along with Alex Reyes. I asked, you know, Maya Maddox about what that means and how that sets Helsley up to even take over, say, the closer role in April. And he told me, he goes, well, look, closers have to throw two innings too if it's a tie game. Just want him ready. Want him to have those innings early so that he can, you know, have access to and sharpen up all of his pitches.
One of the guys, I just can't wait to watch him. And I watched him throw a bullpen the other day and visited with him briefly. He looks the part. I've been saying it since day one of camp. But Johan Oviedo, I mean, this guy is a presence, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Yeah, he is. He physically, he has really filled out, Dan. He's a guy who, he's gone from like kind of lanky, strong armed guy. And you see it happen with these guys, right? As they get older, out of their teens into their early 20s, you know, now he's like small forward, right?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. And on this team, he might be a power forward if they were to, a fivesome. So, you know, he's really caught a lot of people's attention, just for that, for the physical look of him, but also, I mean, he's got a good feel for pitching. He really does. He also has a good feel for who to follow, and he has a really interesting knack. He and Zach Thompson have both very much impressed, as had Matthew Liberatore, I should say. But Zach Thompson has caught a lot of eyes for just how polished he looks as a college pitcher. Oviedo for just how kinetic he looks, how athletic he looks, how there's velocity with ease, power with ease. all that stuff that, you know, that you kind of go to as a, when you're watching these bullpens. And yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, they want to get a look at him. I think that a few of these guys, these young guys, get looks early and then are going to start getting moved out, not to minor league camp because it hasn't started yet, but out to these B games and backfield games that they're going to help populate those games so that they can maintain their innings, so that they can maintain the workload, so that they can be ready to be starters when the minor league season opens. You know, because they're not really going to contribute right off the hop to the major league team.
I have on the website a long visit with John Mozeliak. We talk about Yadier Molina, the potential of an extension and keeping him in St. Louis. And then Derek, as we're talking contract extensions, you and I were visiting last week this time about the potential candidates of guys that may get an extension. And we both said, you know who makes sense? Colton Wong. Well, you wrote about it this past weekend in the Post-Dispatch. Yeah. What do you think that goes from here?
You know, I really get the sense that, you know, I think that Colton is open to it. I think he understands that, like, you know, the timing for him is similar to what the timing was for Matt Carpenter a year ago. But he also understands that, look, he's probably at a different spot in his career than Matt Carpenter is. Matt Carpenter was coming off a top 10 MVP, had long been, you know, had been a multiple time All-Star. Colton has not done that yet, has had multiple years in a row where he's had that performance. Colton wants to obviously Xerox last year, improve on the offense, win another Gold Glove, and then that sets him up very well. So he said, you know, he said he's eager to have the conversation. He'd like to see how long he could stay a Cardinal. He'd like to be a Cardinal for life. You know, all those things. I think, you know, one thing to keep in mind with him is, you know, just the timing of it and who starts the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Carpenter, it was definitely a chance for him to approach the Cardinals and say, hey, is there a way for me to work this option into an extension that maybe takes me closer to, or maybe even to the end of his career? All with the Cardinals then. Colton probably isn't in that spot. I mean, his next contract, if he were to come and talk to them in the form of an extension, it might not take him toward the end of his career. It might take him to that 33, 34 range. So, you know, the timing of it is interesting, because if the Cardinals approach him, then he will be looking for the chance to make it a rather long-term deal. If he goes to the Cardinals, then he might just be like folding that option into something that takes him into his early 30s. As opposed to something that takes him closer to the end of his career.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over seven decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
The Houston scandal is front and center in sports, not just baseball.
Haven't heard anything about it.
Man, oh man. And now that the press conference of the Astros has sunk in and truly how bad it was, and then players commenting across the league, and let's just be frank, I mean, these guys are pissed. What are you hearing from some of the Cardinal players that you talked to about that press conference and about just what has transpired with the Astros?
So there's irritation for sure. I talked to multiple players, and, you know, one of the things that I was like, you could go up and ask them, like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, but I also was interested in what they thought about, like, none of the players getting punished. Do they just say, well, the union worked it out, they got immunity and everything, and we're comfortable with that because all for one, one for all, this is the players' union? But we're not hearing things like that. There's genuine frustration that players escape punishment in this thing. And that got me also thinking, like, does that leave it to the players to police themselves? I talked to Andrew Miller, a veteran of, you know, obviously a guy who was very active in the union. And he said, you know, 15, 20 years ago, this is probably taken care of on the field if you find out a team is doing this stuff. And he said it was an open secret that something weird was going on. He said, you start hitting guys. Now that's gone from the game. Or he said there's a fight, which I also thought is interesting. You know, like there were times, especially in hindsight, we look back at the tub thumping ways of those Astros when they're banging on the trash can. You know, if there was a license for a brawl, you might have thought it would have happened, but it didn't. You know, something like that happens maybe 30, 40 years ago. Maybe there is, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly with some of the teams you and I can think of in the 80s, that probably happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that's been out of the game. Matt Wieters made a fascinating point to me, Dan, where he said, look, you know, it did take the players to police this for this to happen. How many teams complained about the Astros before they did anything? So Mike Fiers comes out and says that this happened and, you know, that's what prompted it. That's what made this all possible. And I thought that was interesting that Wieters made that point. It's a good one. You know, there's genuine frustration also for the legitimacy of their success and what maybe that cost other players. I've heard that a lot, lot of reverse engineering about players who maybe had careers warped, shaped, or lost because of what the Astros did, particularly for like pitchers who might only get one crack at the majors, two cracks at the majors, three cracks at the majors, and face the Astros and we're done. That bothers a lot of people.
And it leads me into the final point of what I want to get into with this, and it is a cardinal tie with Carlos Beltran. I had always felt that he is a Hall of Famer by his numbers on the field, and then he gets a championship and the longevity in the game. Now, I don't know if he's going to get in, and I'm not sure what I feel yet. I need to let it sink in a little bit more. Time does heal all wounds. I'm not sure it's going to do it with this, but I'm really curious as to whether or not this will stunt him headed towards Cooperstown. I do think there'll be writers, and you would know better than I, that'll say, absolutely not. I'm not going to vote for that guy. If I'm not voting for Big Mac and Bonds and Clemens, well, these guys for sure were cheating, and I can't consciously not vote for these guys and then vote for him and put him in. I think that's maybe the justification for some of the writers when they look at his case.
I'm sure that it will be. It's pretty easy at that point to do it. You know, I think it's very interesting that he was the only player singled out in that. And, you know, the one point that like Miles Michaelis made when I talked to him about it, he goes, when the report is written that way and it leaves everything else open to speculation is going to be the worst. So mm-hmm. I think you're right that one way that Bregman and Altuve and some of these guys, Verlander, et cetera, though I don't know how people will look at pitchers. But anyway, one way that they have to change their Hall of Fame chances is to continue playing, right? They still have control of their quote-unquote narrative at this point because they're out to play. Beltran does not. And that bothers me a little bit that he was singled out like that in the report. I get it. Wrong is wrong. Transgressions are transgression. Breaking the rules are breaking the rules. But it does seem like just the one player mentioned in a field of player-driven, player-executed cheating, I don't know, it just feels off. But you're right. What it does do, from my perspective, is it does allow for the use of that sportsmanship clause, however writers want to use it. I use it as a chisel to you know, shave and whittle and sharpen my ballot down to the 10 people allowed. I don't know if I'll use it to clip Carlos Beltran from my votes. I don't know. It will depend on how that ballot looks. And it probably depend on what's said in the coming future. You know, we have time here to hear from Carlos, too, mm-hmm. which would be beneficial.
Derek, thanks so much. We'll catch up tomorrow. We appreciate it.
I hope you know about the Schnucks Rewards app. If for some reason you don't, where have you been? The whole city has been downloading this. If you're a Schnucks Rewards member, you're going to earn points. And the next time you're at Schnucks, you can use those points for money off. Digital coupons on the items you want most. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Get the app that gets you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.